own loveliness, which seemed to enjoy itself by itself, the hosts of Gandharvas and Apsaras. Apsaras. Purport. The musicians in the heavenly planetary systems are called Gandharvas, and the dancing girls are called Apsaras. After being attacked by the demons and evolving the form of a beautiful woman in the twilight, Brahma next created Gandharvas and Apsaras. Music and dancing employed in sense gratification are to be accepted as demoniac. But the same music and dancing, when employed in glorifying the Supreme Lord as kirtan, are transcendental, and they bring about a life completely fit for spiritual enjoyment. Prahasya bhava gambhiram vigrantyatmanam atmanha kantyasaras sasarja bhagavan gandharvapsarasam gaham. With a laugh full of deep significance, the worshipful Brahma, then evolved by his own loveliness, who seemed to enjoy itself by itself, a host of Gandharvas and Apsaras. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Purushottaya Putare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharana. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bhacharane Nirvishesha Shunvali Pasya Khyade Siddharna Urvam Gachati Satvasta Madhye Urvam Lam Adhakshakam Ashvatam Prahur Avyam Chidamsi yasya parnani yastvam veda sadedavit. There is a banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches down, and the hymns of the Vedic, the leaves of the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. Lord Brahma is creating many different varieties of forms. Some of them we may appreciate, some of them we may not appreciate. Some of them in the modes of ignorance, some of them in the modes of passion, some of them in the mode of goodness. And according to the modes of nature we're under, we may appreciate or not appreciate his creation. In any case, here it explains that whatever the creation may be, its ultimate purpose is to be utilized in the service of Krishna. Sahajagna prajashisva puroprokta prajapati anena prasadishadvam esha yosh vistakamaduk. And in the beginning of the creation, the Lord of all creatures, referring to Brahma, he sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this jagga, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things. And the first, or the sacrifice in this age, principally is Jagna Sankirtan, as mentioned here as Kirtan. When glorification is employed in the service of Krishna, then it becomes transcendental, otherwise it's considered to be material. To glorify material nature certainly is the business of the conditioned soul, because without glorification, no one can be enthusiastic to stay here. Everything begins with chanting glories of something. as the conditioned soul becomes a lore, what a loreism is that he hears the glories of something chanted in a way that encourages him to do something, render some service. And the principal glorification here, of course, is the glorification of our conception or the possibility of our becoming the supreme enjoyer and controller here. What's principally being glorified in the material world is a methodology which will enable us to become the so-called lords and enjoyers in the material nature. That hope is always being offered to the conditioned soul by the illusory energy. And in 8,400,000 species, including that of the apsaras and gandharvas, or the yakshas, rakshasas, or the nara, or the naras, the human beings, everyone is being offered this opportunity to become a lord, somehow or another. And the idea of becoming a lord is that we can enjoy whatever we're lording it over. That enjoyment may take the form of eating, or sleeping, or mating and defending, or may even take the subtle form of enjoyment like profit, adoration, distinction. But the material world exists as an opportunity to think oneself, to be a lord. Of course, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. That the bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes, thinks himself to be the doer of the activities which are actually carried out by the modes of nature. In other words, in no way, shape, or form are we the controllers of anything in the material world. Neither Hiranyakashipu is a controller, nor is Lord Brahma a controller. What to speak of the other insignificant living entities such as ourselves, we're not controlling anything at all. But it is not that we have no influence on material nature through our relationship with Krishna. One who is in knowledge, tatvivittu mahabaho guna karmi vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matva nisajite. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, Almighty Arm, doesn't engage himself in the senses or sense gratification because he actually knows things as they are. He's tatvivit. In other words, one who factually understands oneself as a soul and understands that as a soul we have the capacity to desire by our free will, but that desire is only fulfilled by Krishna, and Krishna fulfills that desire through his material nature. That we're desiring and Krishna is arranging material nature in such a way as to fulfill our desires according to what we factually deserve. But we're not independent either in our desires or in the rewards of our desires, or Krishna is making the arrangements. We're completely dependent upon Krishna and material nature. If we depend upon our past activities, whatever we accumulated, then Krishna will arrange our future as well as our present according to our past. And if we give up our past and don't worry about the future and take shelter of Krishna, then we won't be affected by our past and we won't be affected by the so-called future. We'll be in the present in consciousness of Krishna. So the conditioned soul, practically speaking, finds it very difficult to live in the present. He hankers for the future and laments over the past. And the self-realized soul only lives in the present, doesn't worry about what happened in the past, and doesn't worry about what will happen in the future, simply one is enjoying one's relationship with Krishna in the present. Therefore, what's being offered to us in the present is simply an opportunity to engage whatever we think is ours, but to desire to utilize it in Krishna's service. And if one practices that long enough, then one comes to realize that it actually, I have nothing to do with material nature. That I only have something to do with Krishna. And that's an eternal truth. I never had anything at all really to do with material nature, except for the fact that I became attached to it. Therefore, as long as we wanted to maintain attachment to the material nature, of course, then we won't realize that we're attached to it. And as soon as we become attached to Krishna and become detached from the material nature, then we realize we have nothing really to do with material energy. And then one becomes prasanatma. There's nothing to hanker for or lament over. One becomes jolly, joyful, because one realizes that whatever my body may be, whatever its ultimate destination is destruction, but I'm not going to become I'm not going to be destroyed. Whatever my material situation, I'm hankering for happiness, but one who's actually happy in Krishna consciousness, there's nothing to hanker for or lament over, because one has achieved actual real happiness rather than simply the shadow of it. Therefore, kirtan is mentioned as the most important thing. Kirtan means to glorify the truth, and ultimately the truth is Krishna, and to see things in relation to Krishna, that is the truth. To glorify this body and things in relation to the body for sense gratification, that may encourage us to remain in material illusion. Therefore, the first thing we do is have to learn how to hear. Hearing is not very easy, because unless we hear, we won't know how to chant. We won't be convinced that we should chant. It's like we're chanting or trying to chant every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's not so easy to chant Hare Krishna, because first of all, we have to know who Krishna is. We have to know who Srimati Radharani is, and we have to believe that we actually have to accept that I want to be engaged in their loving service. If we have too many plans for the future, then we may think I'll take a little loving service, but I got so many plans too that I got to think about and plan about. In other words, outside of Krishna consciousness, we have so many plans for our loving activities here, so-called loving activities here in the material world. But we can have the spiritual rasa dance and the material rasa dance side by side. Maybe when we go back to Goloka Vrindavan, we can participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, glorifying the rasa dance and in the rasa dance directly. But here it's not possible to participate, divide our consciousness between the rasa dance in the material world and the rasa dance of the spiritual world. We have to choose. It's like if someone is on the shore and a boat is about to pull out, he has 1 foot on the boat, 1 foot on the shore, one has to choose. Do I want to be on the boat? Do I want to be on the shore? If one doesn't make the choice and the boat pulls out, well, it's going to be very embarrassing. So either we put our feet on the boat, or we put the feet on the shore. So similarly, we're trying to hear a very simple philosophy that Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're supposed to be his loving servants. But in order to understand that factually, we have to come to the mode of goodness. Although we may understand it to some extent theoretically, in the modes of ignorance and passion, but in the modes of ignorance and passion, there's too much anxiety. There's too much attachment for lamentation and hankering to actually be in the mood of loving, just to be peaceful enough to hear the philosophy. Our minds are so much afflicted by all the horrible things that happened to us in the past and all the wonderful things that will happen to us in the future. It wasn't good in the past, but it'll be great in the future. So this type of mentality, this kind of hope for material happiness in the future, and disgust over the fact that we didn't make it in the past, doesn't allow us to be peaceful and happy. But if one gives up that, then automatically prasanatma, and if one is peaceful, then one is able to hear what's being said. Then we're able to assimilate, we understand that we're not this body, we're a soul, and that there's a supreme soul. There's a supreme soul who has supreme happiness, just like we want a little happiness, but we're very small and tiny and limited. But there's a soul who has unlimited happiness. And if we come in contact with that unlimited happiness, then we become unlimitedly happy also. And if we don't come in contact with that unlimited happiness, then we are simply remaining in a limited state of happiness. Sometimes so-called happiness, sometimes so-called distress, and sometimes a mixture of both. Anishtam, nishtam, cha trividam, karmana, phalam. Bhava yagina praitya, the two sannyasina kvachit. For those who are in the material world, there are three varieties of experience. Happiness, unhappiness, and a mixture of both. But one who's actually in Krishna consciousness, or the renouncer of life, he has no such results to suffer it or to enjoy. Therefore, the first thing to do is to hear how everything is related to Krishna. We're trying to chant the holy name. So we have to learn how each word is related to Krishna. Then the forms of things will take on their relationship with Krishna. Now we're seeing forms. Actually, we're simply seeing according to our past activities. We're thinking we're seeing what's going on, but actually we're just seeing the modes of through the modes of nature that we've acquired. Therefore, we're factually speaking, we're just seeing our past activities. We're just seeing a reflection in this world of our conditioned nature. But when we hear from the scriptures, then we see how things are actually related to Krishna. If we take it very superficially, we take it very lightly, oh yes, I know the philosophy. I don't really have to hear this anymore. Actually, we'll know the philosophy, but every time we see anything or anyone, they remind us of Krishna in such a way that we become stunned in ecstasy. Then we can say we're learning a little of the philosophy. We've understood it a little. And until then, it's all theoretical. Whatever little theory we have, that's what it is, and as much as we practice, then it becomes realized. Kamsa, he also remembered Krishna, of course. Wherever he looked, he saw Krishna. But because it was not in devotion, he didn't practice devotional service, therefore it simply caused him anxiety and fear. As we know, when he saw his two wives, I forget their names. Does anyone remember what the names are? Suti and Prasuti. Then he saw Krishna and Balaram, because one of his wives was dressed in blue, the other one in yellow. So he took out his sword and said, Krishna Balaram, now you're dead. Rawr. He said, wait a second, Kamsa. We're your wives. We're not Krishna and Balaram. Sorry, I had a bad night. I was dreaming that Krishna and Balaram, they attacked me. He saw Krishna and Balaram everywhere, but because it was not in devotion, it didn't really free him from the modes of nature. It didn't produce ecstasy, it produced more fear and anxiety. He was fortunate, because anyone that comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. But that type of purification we don't really need. On the other hand, when we begin to engage things in Krishna service, then gradually the modes of nature are clearer, because the modes of nature means principally they're given to us to imagine that we're going to utilize this thing for our sense gratification. Anyone who completely utilizes everything in Krishna service is not in the material world. He's not conditioned by the modes of nature. And anyone who doesn't use anything in the material world for one's sense gratification, or the idea that this is mine, forgetting that it's Krishna's, then that forgetfulness is a product of the illusory energy. It's a product ultimately of our lust to enjoy separately from Krishna. Therefore, that's why forgetfulness is there. So we wonder why we forget about Krishna sometimes, because most of us wonder why we remember Krishna sometimes. But that's been explained in Bhagavad Gita, why we forget Dhyayato Visham Pumsa, because we're constantly looking at the objects. Maybe we don't see, you know, the same type of sense gratification every object. Maybe sometimes it changes from gross to subtle. And when it goes to subtle, we think we're illuminated. We think we're realized. When it's no longer profit, when no longer gross eating, sleeping, mating, defending, when it turns into something subtle like profit, adoration, distinction, we think we're very advanced in self-realization. But only when it turns into Krishna, when something reminds us of Krishna, then we've understood what we're seeing. And as soon as we forget Krishna, then we don't see anything. Now, although we may try in so many different ways to figure things out, yadato, is that the first word? Itanto yoginas chayana pashant yatman yavastita. Itanto yakritatmano naivam pashant yachetasaha. The endeavoring transcendentalist who is situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. For those whose eyes are not trained by devotional service, although they may try in so many different ways, cannot actually see what's taking place. So the ultimate thing we're seeing taking place is that Krishna is trying to bring his children back to the spiritual world. That's actually what's going on here, and most of his children are rebelling against him. And although he's trying to drag them, they're trying very hard to fight him. Let me go, I want to go to hell. No, don't go. No, forget it. Let me go. Just leave me alone. I'm sick of you trying to make me happy. So Krishna is trying very hard to get us back to the spiritual world, and all the souls are either completely forgetfulness of him, or those who aren't usually criticizing him for not trying hard enough to bring them back, making them happy, or for not giving them everything they want. If there is a God, why doesn't he help me in this situation and give me exactly what I want? I've been sitting here for 3 hours trying to catch this fish, and no fish has come to catch, for me to catch. God, why don't you help me? So God is trying to, he won't help us in that way. But we're angry at him for not making us, putting us into a situation which would even be worse for us. Therefore, one has to hear things properly. That's called kirtan, glorifying Krishna, especially the beginning of philosophy, so that in this world that we're living in our daily activities, even when we go to sleep at night, we'll see only Krishna. That everywhere we look, we'll see there is Krishna in the heart, there's the super soul, there is the different souls, modes of nature, how they're working here, either enlightening the souls or bewildering them or confusing them or depressing them. Seeing how the modes, to see with the eyes of knowledge. So once we see the eyes of knowledge and ultimately we see Krishna, then that's the beginning of actually conscious of Krishna. Then when once has understood the name, and when it's remembering the form, then one can actually feel Krishna's presence. And that leads one to the stage of, towards the ultimate goal of life, where one can begin to think of Krishna's associates and their pastimes. One can see this whole world as a pastime of Krishna's. And then one will be able to understand the transcendental pastimes of Krishna in the internal energy. But if one tries to jump and is only trying to understand Krishna's pastimes and the internal energy, it is not possible at all. It is impossible. One has to be in the internal energy first before one can understand Krishna's pastimes and the internal energy. And as long as we're thinking we have pastimes in this material world, as long as everything here doesn't remind us of Krishna, then our pastime is it's not exactly pastime, but we are passing a lot of time here. But we're in the external energy. And being in the external energy, that's what we can understand. That's what our real experience is. But if we hear how to utilize this external energy in the service of Krishna, try to understand it as fully as possible, and then improve our devotional attitude, our devotional service attitude, and try to utilize whatever we have presently in Krishna's service, then gradually everyone and everything will help us remember Krishna. We have nice relations with the devotees, we believe that everyone is Krishna's servant, and being Krishna's servant, Krishna is also their servant because he's Bhaktivatsal. And if I want to be Krishna's servant, then I have to understand what Krishna wants me to do in relation to others, how to serve them. It may be that someone's demanding some service from me or expecting, but it may not be very good for them. Therefore, I have to find out how Krishna wants me to serve them for their real interest. To be an actual well-wisher of others as their servant on behalf of Krishna, to be willing to utilize whatever energy we have in Krishna's service, then one comes to what Krishna says. Kyana vigyana chiptatma kutasta vijitendriyaha yukti chite yogi samavilas trasma kanchanaha. That a person is said to be full of knowledge, theoretical, or a person is said to be situated in transcendence when he's acquired perfectly theoretical and applied knowledge. Such a person is self-controlled and he sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, is the same. Surinityavadasi nama dyasti dvesha bhagyushu sadushva pipushva peshu samabhudir vashishite. Person is said to be further advanced when he sees everyone. Surin, the actual surin, the actual rit, one who really has in their heart good feelings for you. Surin nitya, nitya, nitya means an ordinary friend. Bandushu, surin nitya, bandushu, another also good friend, but not well wisher, but not so much as a well wisher. Surin nitya udasina, udasina. What does udasina mean? Dasina, one who takes your side, one who takes your side. Surin nitya udasina madhyastha, one who's in the middle. Dvesha, one who's envious, one who's on the other side. So there may be someone takes your side, someone who's neutral and impartial, and someone takes the other side. Madhyastha bandishu. Surin nitya udasina madhyastha dvesha bandishu. Sudhu Shvapi, Sudhu and the sadhu, the saintly person, and the papi, the sinful person. Srin Mitya Udasinama Madhyasya Dvesha Pandishu, Sudhu Shvapi Chapapeshu, Sama Budhir, Vishishati. He sees all these persons equally. Equally means he understands that everyone has their role. Just like in play, everyone has their part to play. Someone may be playing the role of Kamsa in the play, and someone may be playing the role of Krishna, someone may be playing the role of Srimati Radharani, someone playing the role of Deno Kasura or Agasura, but we know it's just play going on. If Agasura swallows Krishna in the play, then afterwards when we meet the devotee who played the part of Agasura, we don't think, why did you do it? I'm never speaking to you again. You rascal. Then we know it was just a play going on. Therefore, we don't take it seriously when after the play is over. We know everyone had their part to play. So similarly, everyone's just playing a role here in the material world. Everyone is factually Krishna's servant. But while the play is going on, we can't spoil it. If someone's playing the role of Deganukasura, we have to take it seriously. That he's Deganukasura, we can't go into the play and say, wait a second, Deganukasura, you're not Deganukasura, you're actually a devotee of Krishna. You're not supposed to swallow him. You should pay obeisances. That's not the way the plays work. We know that in the play, he's Deganukasura, he's just playing a role, but he has his part to play in that play. We should see everyone playing a part, and we should know what our role is in the play. Because Krishna also is going to give us a role if we want, or Maya will give us a role. In any case, we're simply taking a part here, because we're not the doer, we can just be an instrument. So we should know what a good part is. We have a choice. We have two scripts offered to us in this play. One is given to us by Maya, and the other one by Krishna, and Krishna's representative. So we should decide to take Krishna's role that he wants us to play, and not Maya's role. Nor should we take the stack of roles and kind of shuffle them together. Sometimes I'll play one role and the other and see which one I really like. We should make a decision which role we want to really play, or else our part's going to get really confused after some time. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Manish explained that it's simply impossible to enter the internal pastimes of Krishna. Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book, for instance. So
you read Krishna book to see how much you enter into the internal energy of Krishna? No, it's meant we can enter to some degree into the internal energy. But that should come by Krishna's blessings, not by our forcing our way into the internal energy. That, you know, we become so determined, I'm forcing my way in, even if Krishna doesn't want me there. No, we should follow the process. So one of the, it says, for instance, here in Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in a sacred place, serving the devotees, worshipping the deity, chanting Hare Krishna, that these are five potent processes that even a neophyte, when he executes them, can experience bhava or ecstasy. But that bhava comes from a service attitude. So even when we read Krishna book, we should know what level we're on. Prabhupada didn't say that everyone, when they read Krishna book, he writes in the introduction, there's three types of persons who will read it. And they'll get benefited from it. So he makes it very clear. The neophyte devotee, he'll get some benefit because they'll seem like very nice stories. He'll become attracted to Krishna. The second class devotee, by reading Krishna book, the path of enlightenment, the path of Krishna consciousness will become clearer and more encouraging. The first class devotee will relish the internal energy of Krishna when he's reading it. So we can't imitate, we shouldn't stay on the third class platform, we shouldn't imitate the first class platform, but we should come to the second class platform. Therefore, Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book full of philosophy, so we know how to read the Krishna book. We should meditate upon Krishna with devotional attitude. But we shouldn't start imagining that, you know, we've understood that I'm such and such a person and such pastime and I have such and such identity and I'm enjoying in such and such way, etc. Unless Krishna reveals that to us eventually, we should take our present knowledge and apply it with a spirit of devotion, spirit of service. Do it in such a way as that we're following the instructions of higher authorities. So we can hear Krishna's pastimes, and we should try to even imagine what they're like. Visualize Krishna. Come at least, go through the process. Hear, try to realize the form, try to feel their presence. But we can't jump into Madhurya Rasa. We can't even jump into Sakya Rasa. We can't even jump into, we're trying to jump, get a little bit into the service Rasa. So we can try to feel And then we may get some glimpse in what it's all about, their loving feelings. But we shouldn't start imagining that this is something like, you know, our own personal affairs. We should go through the process, name, form, quality, feeling, the presence, the qualities, their associates, the pastimes, and their service attitude of love. So if we can get that far, then we'll be in the internal energy. But we can't jump from into the internal energy. We have to go through the name, form, quality, pastimes, associates, etc. And then we'll get some glimpse. Or even eventually the whole enter into the internal energy. So we're not against the internal energy, nor are we saying that no one can experience it, but we have to go through the actual process, or else in the name of the internal energy we'll wind up in the external energy. So reading the Krishna book, we can, even a neophyte, if they read it in the right way, they can be in ecstasy and actually experience what's going on there, but they have to do it in the right way. They have to learn the way. Yes.
Thank you for this very interesting class. You mentioned in the class that it's important to forget about the past and the future and live in the present so that we can perceive Krishna. This will make us happy. And is it right then? Because I'm always worrying about the future. I think I have to apply my intelligence to organize things in such a way, to recognize my present situation in such a way that I can make the proper arrangements. But is it right if we just try to be in the present with Krishna, then He will just take charge and relieve us of the...
No, and I say that maybe there's a misconception I meant by that. We should forget about our material conceptions from the past. And we should forget about our material conceptions in the future. Doesn't mean we should forget the past, nor we should not think about the future. But we should think about the past in relation to Krishna, and think about the future in relation to Krishna too. Then we'll actually be in the real present here. In the past, we lament because we forget Krishna, and in the future, we hanker because we forget Krishna. So it should all be seen, the past should be seen in relation to Krishna, and the future should also be seen in relation to Krishna. So we should make plans, we should think about the past, we should learn from the past how things are related to Krishna. We should live in the present also in relation to Krishna. Anything else? Yes?
Related to this verse that you were quoting, that one should see equally friends and enemies. Was that point in the verse?
Sure was.
So
no, the friends and enemies. The friend, the indefinite and partial, everyone.
In particular, I'm interested in particular in this to mention. Because Krishna spoke that to Arjuna, and we see that after having heard the whole Bhagavad Gita and definitely understood it, still he went up and fought.
Yeah, he killed someone, thousands, millions of people.
My dear friend.
Because he didn't kill them as enemies. He killed them as on behalf of Krishna. He killed them, and on behalf of Krishna, he liberated so many living entities and them back either to the higher planets or the spiritual world. He was actually their well-wisher. Everyone he killed, he benefited. He wasn't envious of anyone, nor was he particularly friendly to anyone. He saw everyone as... He was doing everything as a service to Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grant direction by Bhagavatam Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Over permanent day.